Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. A quick note before we start this episode. This interview with Chuck Worley is a fascinating story of ups and downs, trials and tribulations, lessons learned, and great ideas. And it was a little bit long, but we couldn't find anything we wanted to cut out, so we decided to split it into two episodes. This is part one. Keep checking back. We'll publish part two soon. And here we go with part one. Enjoy it. Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Chuck Worley is my guest today. I've known Chuck professionally for years, but only had a few opportunities to talk with him. And even then, our conversations were fairly short. But Chuck always left me with a really positive impression. He's smart, experienced, thoughtful, honest, fun, and willing to experiment to get better results. You'll enjoy hearing this interview. And if you ever see Chuck at a trade show, make sure you introduce yourself. You'll be glad you did. So Chuck Worley, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Well, thank you for the invite. I was very flattered to get the email, and it took you a minute to find me, but you did connect with me, man. I was really flattered that you called.
Well, it's so good to reconnect. So take us back to the beginning. How did you get into HVAC?
That's a great question. I normally start with school was not necessarily my favorite thing. I mean, I had dyslexia in third grade. I failed sixth grade. I failed my senior year of English. So I knew college was not really going to be my avenue for success, improving how to take over the world. So after going through all that, I went to Catholic schools and realized that school was definitely not my avenue, you know, because everybody's told to go to college, right? So I go to college. I end up going to a great university here locally. It's Norfolk State University, small school. It's a great school, and was in the process of failing out of that. And my wrestling coach kind of grabbed me by the ruff of the neck. And I mean, I'm probably 19 years old. I was not great in school. I was phenomenal in sports. I was a state champ in wrestling. I was a state champ in track. I was pretty successful in the sporting arena, not so much in the school arena. So he grabs me by the back of the neck, said, man, you need to do something with your life. You're just wasting time. You need to get into the apprentice school at Newport News Shipyard. So Newport News Shipyard has, I believe, the largest apprentice school in the country. It's been around since 1919. And they had started up a trade of HVAC probably 10 years before I got into the apprentice school. They have welding, you know, everything, ship fitting, you know, machinists, you know, all that. But I really didn't know much about anything, being though that I was raised by a Navy chief, CB, who could literally fix anything on the planet. Like my dad could fix anything. So I didn't realize how blessed I was to have a dad that could fix stuff. And I knew what a hammer was. I knew what a screw was. I was decent with my hands. You teach me something with my hands, I could pretty much run with it. Like, you know, wrestling, you teach me a move, you know, I could apply it. And so anyway, I get into the apprentice school. It's funny because I told him, man, I can't even afford the $25 application. And my wrestling coach hands me $25. Like, he's like, nice. You got any other excuses? And I'm like, son of a gun. So anyway, I said, what do I know about building ships? Like, I don't know anything about. He said, Chuck, they have a wrestling program. They have a track program. He said, man, you could do sports here. And I'm like, wait, I could get paid to be a wrestler? This is great. So anyway, I get into the apprentice school by the grace of Christ. Like I said, my GPA was 1.9. I took the SATs back when 1600 was perfect. I got a 920, 940, and 960. So I said, all right, well, at least I know where I'm at. So no scholarships came running to a guy that couldn't have a 2.0 or over 1,000 SAT, you know. So kind of went through there. Honestly, the apprentice school changed my life, gave me a trade of heating and air conditioning, which really, I don't know how else I would have gotten into the trades if they would not have trained me. So I keep trying to tell these kids now when I'm going back to high schools and stuff, it's like, look, you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a doctor. You can be successful and own your own business or, you know, work with your hands. And so I do a lot with going back to high schools and stuff, trying to show, hey, I want to find that punk ass kid like me, excuse my French, but that really wanted to win but had no avenue to win because he knew I'm not going to college or I just need something to grab onto. So I went through the apprentice school, graduated from there, knew I wasn't going to retire at the shipyard. So I went to work for a couple different companies. And the first interview, I came in like this, tie and jacket, walked in. And anybody in our trade knows how many guys walk in a tie and jacket. I'm 25, 26 after I graduated from apprentice school. So I'm married, got a kid. Mama always told me dress for success. So I go into this interview in a tie and jacket to be a service tech. So people will laugh about that because how many guys you actually see do that. He goes, man, are you going to fix heat pumps like that? I said, well, no, I was going to take my tie off first. He said, son, you have missed your calling. You need to be in sales. I said, sir. I said, but I can't screw people to make money. So he explained to me, man, if I do a good job, you sell a job and the customer comes back and thanks you for selling this job to her. That she had a great experience. The heat pump was working great. Professional guys putting drop cloths down, booties. It was a good experience. Could you sell that? Well, yeah, I could sell that. He goes, well, let's work on that. So anyway, long story short, I end up going into sales within my second year. Now, mind you, this is back in 97. I was one of the very first guys to ever bust $1 million in sales because the first thing I heard in sales is nobody can sell $1 million a year. So being that number two,
were you a tech for any period? Were like for two years or so?
Okay. Yeah, I was in the apprentice school for 4 years and I stayed an additional 2 years. So I was in the shipyard for 6 years doing that. So I had the technical background. I wasn't the best service tech. I wasn't the best installer. But when I found the sales part of the HVAC division, I literally made a mark. I mean, within 24 months, there was not a guy in the 757 Virginia Beach, Williamsburg market that did not know my name. So you sell $1 million a year in 1997. That was the pinnacle of success. That year, I was the only guy to sell a million. I really believe there was only one or two other guys that had done it before me. I do know it's a single digit success back in 97. Now guys are selling. I've got a guy that works for me that sells 3 million. So back then it was impressive.
Yeah. So, well, inflation and everything. Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, a million then is worth probably like, I don't know, 4 million now, something like that. So yeah,
it was a lot, but I'm a grinder, man. I wasn't the best salesman. I wasn't the best. I'm just going to outwork everybody in the room. My joke was, you know, based on my high school and college experience, I said I never was going to outsmart anybody in the room, but I could outgrind every sucker in this room that breathes air. I can outgrind anybody. And it's just grit. Going to work, pay your dues, go to work, outwork everybody else, and you'll be successful. You know, it's just been my motto. I mean, even in wrestling, I wasn't the strongest. I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the fastest. But I outworked everybody in the room. I was running 5 miles in the morning, delivering papers, sprinting up with, you know, 100-pound papers on my back. Back when you had a paper boy, you had the paper bag. I'd put that on my shoulder and I'd sprint from house to house in the mornings because I wanted to be in the best shape of my life for winning state. And so I don't know. It's just something that I've always done is just outworked everybody else. And that's how I win. It's just been my philosophy. So back to the sales, I was really successful in sales. And fortunately for me, being raised by a Navy chief, CB, character integrity and doing the right thing was drilled into my head. And the only way I could support myself being a $1 million salesman was to go with these bigger companies that unfortunately, character integrity, you know, I really struggled finding a job because I was selling more than most companies were doing in a year. So I had to go. I was forced to go to the bigger companies that didn't care about quality and doing the right thing. So I said, you know what? I'm not putting my name on something. And then, you know, someone said, hey, Chuck, you know, great job selling me this job, but you sent some crackhead over here to do it. And, you know, I couldn't do it. So I opened up my own company in 2001 and sold a lot. I didn't sell a million my first year, but I did sell a million the second year, built that up to a $2 million company. And unfortunately, about 13 years later, my wife decided to be single and went through a pretty long divorce. It was about 3 or 4 years long to get divorced. Ouch. And I was broken, man. I mean, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in divorce. I fought and I just, I don't know. It was a horrible experience. It broke my spirit. Obviously, I wasn't selling $1 million a year then. I was really going down. And a friend at the time made me an offer that said, hey, look, I'll buy your $2 million business for $1. That'll help you get through your divorce. And, you know, I'll pay off all the debt and all your accounts payable and your stuff. And I'm like, well, so that puts me at zero. Going back to my grind, I said, I could start at zero again. I'm 48. I said, I can just start over and go back into sales, make $100,000 plus a year in sales again and be happy. So that's what I did. I sold the company. Unfortunately, he, for whatever reason, did not pay the debt. What happens to the debt?
I guess it reverts to you. Is that right?
100%. I'm the one that signed all this stuff. So sold the business for $1. He got to keep the $2 million phone number and I got to keep the debt. So that was a very painful. That was in 2013 to 2015. I'm in bankruptcy court. I'm 47, 48 years old. So probably the lowest point in my life. And I got to be honest, I was praying through this like, man, wife left. Didn't want to be married anymore. This guy kind of didn't pay what he's supposed to or couldn't afford to pay it. Whatever the story is, it just put me in a really bad spot. And to be honest with you, I was in bankruptcy court and I just got this peace over me that I say from God that, Chuck, we're going to pay all these people back. Now, mind you, in 2015, I am scrapping metal. I had quit the company that I had sold my business to because he wasn't paying everybody. So I was going into bankruptcy. So I quit. I'm scrapping metal. Like to eat. Like I'm living in an RV. You know, the joke is RV down by the river, you know, but yeah. I'm literally living in an RV. I had a 5-acre farm. My wife and two kids were inside the house and I just bought an RV because I couldn't afford to live anywhere else. And, hell, I was paying $100 a week to live in the RV. I bought it from a friend of mine. I was paying him $100 a week to buy this RV. It was a horrible, horrible, but I had this peace that was over me that we're going to pay everybody back. And I'm like, what in the world? Why do I have this peace that I'm paying everybody back to go through this bankruptcy? It was the weirdest thing ever. But going back to me and grinding, I said, you know what? I'm starting over. I go to work for a couple of different companies. I do end up getting a job with a pretty large company selling $2 million a year. They decided to put cameras in their truck and I went from making, you know, going back to selling $2 million a year to zero again because they put cameras in the truck and I got fired for texting and driving. So I'm like, what in the world? Like, I thought I hit it. I was happy. I was selling. I had no pressure, no stress.
They fired you for texting and driving?
Yes. Yes.
I get it. It's dangerous. But,
it is.
It
was a big franchise company. I won't mention their name, but they did. They lost $2 million a year in sales. So I think it was God just putting me in a point in my life where, you know, I had no choice but to trust him 100%. So I'm working for other guys. I'm selling roofs, I'm selling gutters, I'm selling just whatever I could sell. Started selling encapsulated crawl spaces for a friend of mine. And kind of to give you my forefront, I am a building science geek. There is nothing about a house that I cannot fix. I have been, you know, with the dad being a CB in the Navy, which is basically a construction battalion in the Navy, there's not much that I don't know about a house growing up and fixing stuff. So I really like that fixing the whole house, you know, the whole house solution. So the encapsulated crawl spaces was really part of that I had been doing since 2001. Honestly, with a good friend of mine, Keith Bales, who has passed away, kind of taught me everything about building science and stuff. But really, it wasn't a big switch to go from heat and air to encapsulations because I was already doing that at my last company, which was, you know, energy efficient solutions. Like the whole house, you know, so I was working for him. I was miserable. He had a couple of knuckleheads working for him, had about three guys working for him. They're about a 10-year-old company doing $300,000 a year. And I just got frustrated one day. I was like, look, the guys are not doing the jobs up to the standards I'm selling. Let me just buy your company. And then I kind of went, oh, what am I talking? I'm not going back into business. That's crazy. So I sit down with my son, who you know is my best friend. He's 22 years old. He actually went Division I in lacrosse and then came back locally to go back to CNU, Christopher Newport University. And he's 22, 23 years old. And he's like, Dad, you're miserable. You're complaining about these guys. He needs to hire better guys that want to take quality into work. He said, the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we own it. He said, so buy the company. And I'm like, you've lost your mind. I'm not going back into business. Payroll, employees. He said, Dad, I will take care of all of that. You go get me business. I'll do everything else. I said, okay. I mean, the dream, being in business, and I do choke up when I talk about this, but it being in business with your best friend, it is life-changing. And I am very grateful that my son believed in me, because this is a bankrupt, divorced, 48-year-old man with nothing. I mean, I'm living in an RV. And my son believed that I could do it again. I could build a business. I could go and get us enough business to keep us alive.
Yeah, so, how great to have a family member that believes in you so strongly.
Nobody else should have, right? I mean, it's, you know, I don't say I was washed up, but I was beaten down. And, you know, it was significant in my life. It was a very significant point in my life. And so we got together. I was like, I don't know if he really knows what the hell he's thinking. But so I ended up going back to the guy. The guy's, you know, he's doing about 300 a year. He's asking for a number that does not signify a $300,000 business. But I said, look, I'll give you the number that you want, but you got to give me my payment plan. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I need 10 years. I need 120 payments and I'll give you the number you want. He goes, dude, that's 10 years. I was like, dude, that's a lot of money. I don't have it. I just went bankrupt like 6 months ago. So he shook hands with me and I paid him off in 4 years.
Good for you. That's awesome.
But I wanted a number so low that I never had to worry about payroll or paying him. I never wanted my integrity challenged. I never wanted my, where I was going to worry about not being able to pay him what I promised him, because I went through that. I went through somebody promising me this and then not being able to come through. It was a life-changing event, and I'm always grateful to Brad and his wife, Sherry, for trusting me. It was a great decision for him and a great decision for me, and it really catapulted me back into business.
You know, what year was that?
That was in August of 2016.
Okay.
So in August of 2016, I bought a $300,000 company. Between August and December, I sold $291,000. So I basically doubled the size of the company in 5 months. And then the next year, I bought another company, about a $500,000 business in July of 2017. 30-year-old business, great guy, Rick and Gay Turner, fantastic friends. Their son, Ricky, who actually still, he's part of the legacy of our company. He still works here. He's one of our main guys in our company. You know, so I buy their company, another 8-year payout, and pay them off in, I believe it was 2 years. My goal was to kind of make it so that I never had to worry about making payroll or someone that I told I was going to do something to, that I was able to back it up. Right. So I just made it easy for me. And, you know, every 7 days they got a paycheck. I didn't do it once a month. I pay them every 7 days. They got a paycheck deposited right into their account. No questions asked. Every Friday they knew it was going to be there. And it was hard, but, you know, we made it happen. That year I bought a $500,000 company. Between July and December, I sold, I guess, 700, you know, some 1,000. So we ended up finishing that year at 1.1 million with basically branding those companies, the Crawl Space Company and Rick's Heating and Air. I didn't really have Whirlies. Whirlies was not really launched yet. So I was kind of co-branding those two companies because obviously they're two different businesses. And the next year we grew to 1.75, and that was 2018. My son is graduating from college. The coolest part, everybody's so impressed with my son being 29 years old, running a $12 million company. That's not the impressive part. The impressive part is my son at 23 years old, running a $2 million business, carrying 18 to 21 credits per semester, playing college lacrosse, vice president of his fraternity, and working 50 hours a week for me, pretty much between 10 p.m. and, you know, 3 a.m. So he is a monster. He is so good at what he does. I could never, never do what he does. I mean,
sounds like he adopted your motto of outworking everybody else.
Exactly. I mean, he went Division I in lacrosse. He was not the biggest. He was not the strongest. He was not the fastest. But daggone it, within 5 minutes, the other coach knew the name on the back of his jersey, right? So who the hell's on 40? You know, get cover that dude, you know? So outwork everybody else. It's just been my motto since I was grown. I do give my ex-wife credit. My son has her brains, but he's got my work habits. And, you know, through that, he's been able to help us orchestrate a great business. When he graduated in 2018, we merged three small companies, you know, $500,000, $300,000, $100,000 business, which honestly, it was probably one of the best purchases we've ever had. We've built $1 million off a $100,000 business over the last couple of years. So because he was fixing stuff, and he didn't have the manpower to replace equipment. So when we get there, you know, there's 17, 20-year-old systems that need to be replaced 5 years ago, you know. So it was pent-up demand. So that was a great purchase. But from 2018 to 2019, I am the only salesman. I sold over $2.5 million that year. We went from 1.75 to 3.5 million. And basically, you know, I was Atlas. I mean, everything was on my back. And I grew. I mean, I threw my back out four times that year. I mean, I was working unbelievable hours. And my son, of course, is doing the same thing because he finally graduated. So in 2019, he's working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. 7 to 7 is kind of his schedule. In the office, doing as much as I was outside the office, underneath houses. I was in 5-10 houses a day doing, I did what I call happy checks, which is after every single installation, I personally go back as the owner to look at that job to make sure that my standards were, I call them the chief standard, you know, being raised by a chief, but the worldly standard, it's going to be done right. You may be happy with the job, but if it's not done up to my standard, we're coming back to fix it. And I believe that that is why our referral rates are so high. We have gotten, obviously, from 3.5, within the next 2 years, we're at 6.5. That's through COVID, after COVID. And then 2022, we were at 21, we're at 6.6. And then 22, we were at 10.3. There was a point there, we had 6 quarters that we literally grew $1 million a quarter. For 6 quarters.
Incredible.
It was insane. I mean, it was insane. And we finished up last year at 12.2. And this year, our goal is 14 something to be close to 15 million. So always growing. And I'd like to talk about a transition in there because obviously I'm a salesman and I was doing marketing kind of in between my sales calls, which, you know, being in 5-10 houses a day was not a lot, but I was at networking events and all that stuff. And then I was asked kind of by my son to kind of back off of sales to give my guys opportunities to be in houses, you know. So it was a big transition for me. And I'll kind of go into that, you know, kind of my branding thing. But I do want to say the couple of things that are the greatest about my story before I start talking about branding and radio and stuff. Part of our story of being so blessed is I went back and I paid back over $500,000 of debt. I didn't file the cute bankruptcy, which was, you know, chapter 11, chapter 13, you reorganize and they make you pay back X amount. I went back and paid back every single person that I went bankrupt on. And it was over $500,000 of debt. And my joke is, it would be nice if I had my house paid off, you know, but instead I paid everybody else back because I felt like that was the right thing to do. And I feel like the character integrity, doing the right thing. People can say they don't like Chuck Worley, but what they can say is Chuck Worley didn't pay him back, that he didn't do the right thing. And it's been part of our drive was to do that. The other thing that we do is we tithe on our net profits, 10% of our net profits every single year. We're doing events. We sponsor churches being built. I mean, it doesn't have to be ministry. It can be charities, local charities. My joke is I am the brand of the 757. So I want to focus.
757 is the area code?
My phone number. Yeah. So my area code. So my brand is the 757. So I want to make impact in communities, in ministries, in charities in our area because our people in this area are supporting us. So as great as these national organizations are, I mean, they're phenomenal, right? They're great, but they're not helping necessarily impacting the people right here in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that I believe is part of our success. Kind of grassroots philosophy is, you know, pay back the people that are paying us. We're paying back those people in these areas. So we are trying to put together a ministry team on our team. And we do have a corporate chaplain, a full-time corporate chaplain in our company that monitors. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to work for me. I mean, my rules are character, integrity, and doing the right thing. But it's kind of like the military. The military has a corporate chaplain, right? So if you need him, he's there. And that's the same here. If you need him, he's there. We've had people that their wives have passed away. They've had family members pass away. You know, it's nice when you don't have a church or someone, a community like that, that comes together. It's nice that all they got to do is pick up the phone and Chris Hoyt will answer. And like I said, they don't have to call them. They don't even have to respond to them. It's like the military. You know, there's a corporate chaplain. If you need them, they're available. And I feel like investing in our people is part of our win, part of our victory, part of our culture is investing back into our people. And I believe that's a huge part of it.
So let me ask you about the corporate chaplain. Is this a person that, is that all he does is be the corporate chaplain, or does he have some other functions in the company?
Ours is unique. There are corporate chaplains of America where they just do corporate chaplains and they do several different companies and they'll have 10 different companies that all he does is a corporate chaplain. Chris is kind of a cool story. He was an associate pastor 15 years ago at a church. And I'm online. I'm like, man, we're looking for people. We're looking for people. We're looking for people. This is back in 2017, 18. And we are always advertising on Facebook or whatever. And he notices you're hiring for people. I just opened up my own church and I got three kids I got to feed. So when you open up church, you don't do it for making money. You do it for ministry and your calling. Mm-hmm. So I said, so you need a job? Because I need a job. So I threw him in crawl spaces. So he ends up coming to work for me. And in crawl spaces, working for me in crawl spaces. So about 6 months, his church is extremely successful. This is a little bit before COVID, extremely successful. Everything's great. They fully fund his salary for the year. So he comes up to me and says, Chuck, I'm retiring from the crawl space business. So you think heating and air is hard? Crawl space business is tough. That is, you're on your hands and knees all day. It's not made for the weak. So he said, I'm retiring. Well, in these 6 months, he not only became a crawl space guy, he became a crawl space leader. He became running one of my crews. He was a, people just follow this guy, right?
He was a rock star.
Yeah, he's a rock star. And I'm like, look, I've been praying too, and Jesus is not telling me you need to retire from the crawl spaces. You need to stay in the crawl spaces. He goes, I said, you need to go back to pray to our God because I'm not hearing that. He goes, Chuck, let me tell you something. I'm hearing it loud and clear. I'm done with crawl spaces. So anyway, I said, well, you're not allowed to leave. He said, well, I mean, what's that mean? I said, have you ever heard of a corporate chaplain? He said, no, what's that mean? I said, go online, look up corporate chaplain. So he looks it up and he goes, man, what a great way to have workplace ministry inside your company. He said, I'm all in. What are you going to pay me? So we basically pay him 2 days a week to come in and do ministry stuff. He's texting, he's calling the guys, he's communicating with guys. Like I said, there's guys that don't go to church that work for me, and that's fine. I just have my three rules, character, integrity, doing the right thing. I also have a 10 commandments of an employee, which I'd love to share. You know, if you want to see, I can share with you. It's very, very important to know what you're looking for. And it's written down. So anyway, he is a great leader. And to be honest with you, he has been a phenomenal between my son, because my son is the yin to my yang, but we are so different. Oh my gosh, we are different. And there are things, what is it? Opposites attract, but they also repel. So Chris is a great organization, operations, leadership guy. He's been in leadership in churches for, you know, 15 years, 20 years almost. And he has been great for, okay, Chuck, this is what you're saying, but is this what you mean when you're communicating with your son, ready to jack him up because he's not listening to you because he's your son? And then he's my son not listening to his dad, right? So he's a great sounding board for both of us to kind of, okay, look, we're going to win. How do we win? We got two different guys. Operation. We also use the EO. We started with the EOS system, Entrepreneur Operating System. That was life changing. Chase was able to hire managers and stuff like that. So we have quarterly meetings, and we had to have quarterly meetings. I mean, my God, we're growing at $1 million a quarter at some points. So it's been a great ride, but he has been essential to operations and helping and leadership stuff. We've also got our core leaders. We've got about 7 managers now, but we also have 25 guys that our managers, guys and gals, that our managers have said, okay, this guy's got potential to be in leadership in our company. And it's our responsibility to grow our company. So that we grow our company, these people have a place to grow into, right? Because if we're not growing our company and you got 10 guys this year and 10 guys next year, there's a guy with potential that has no way of, he's going to leave. Any guy with his moxie is going to leave to try and advance his career. So we've got to keep growing so that we got guys have a place to go. And when I say guys, I mean gals too. We got some great people working here. So it's been a great experience, and Chris leads a what we call a secondary leadership level, where once a month for 4 hours, we'll take 12 and 12. I think it's 25 people, but 4 hours in the morning and then 4 hours in the afternoon. So Chris does a leadership thing for this secondary. And what's that about? Well, it's about character. It's about integrity. It's about how to read people, how to soft skills. How am I talking to people? What am I learning? It's not really sales at all. It's all about leadership in our industry, in our business. And Chris leads all that. So he's been absolutely phenomenal in that. Our company wouldn't be, I get emotional talking about some people in my business. And he has been a godsend to me and my company. And
That's very, a really unique position. Good for you.
Very, very grateful. So
yeah.
Hi, this is David again. 3 quick notes. 1, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. 2, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. 3, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.